The dependence of the magnetization on the temperature is somewhere between being proportional to the square root, the 0.5 power, and the cube root, the 0.33 power, of the difference between the Curie point and the temperature. Powers like this 0.37 are called critical exponents, sometimes with the adjective non-classical or anomalous, because they are not what had been expected. Other quantities were observed to behave in similar ways in this and other phase transitions, in some cases with precisely the same critical exponents. This is not an intrinsically glamorous phenomenon, like black holes or the expansion of the universe. Nevertheless, some of the brightest theoretical physicists in the world worked on the problem of the critical exponents until the problem was eventually solved in 1972 by Kenneth Wilson and Michael Fisher, both then at Cornell. Yet it might have been thought that the precise calculation of the Curie point itself was a problem of greater practical importance. Why should leaders of condensed matter theory give the problem of the critical exponents so much greater priority? I think that the problem of critical exponents attracted so much attention because physicists judged that it would be likely to have a beautiful solution. The clues that suggested that the solution would be beautiful were above all the universality of the phenomenon, the fact that the same critical exponents would crop up in very different problems, and also the fact that physicists have become used to finding that the most essential properties of physical phenomena are often expressed in terms of laws that relate physical quantities to powers of other quantities, such as the inverse square law of gravitation. As it turned out, the theory of critical exponents has a simplicity and inevitability that makes it one of the most beautiful in all of physics. In contrast, the problem of calculating the precise temperatures of phase transitions is a messy one, whose solution involves complicated details of the iron or other substance that undergoes the phase transition. And for this reason, it is studied either because of its practical importance or in want of anything better to do. In some cases, the initial hopes of scientists for a beautiful theory have turned out to be misplaced. A good example is provided by the genetic code. Francis Crick describes in his autobiography how, after the discovery of the double helix structure of DNA by himself and James Watson, the attention of molecular biologists turned to breaking the code by which the cell interprets the sequence of chemical units on the two helices of DNA as a receipt for building suitable protein molecules. It was known that proteins are built up out of chains of amino acids, that there are only 20 amino acids that are important in virtually all plants and animals, that the information for selecting each successive amino acid in a protein molecule is carried by the choices of three successive pairs of chemical units